of locks and keys made by Yale and Town, founded in Stamford South End in 1868. These objects represent a significant part of Stamford's history, as well as that of the loft artists, which occupied the vacant Yale and Town building with artist studios for many years. For details on these and hundreds more events, check FC Buzz Events at culturalalliancefc.org.
This was FC Buzz on WPKN Radio.
Hi, I'm Lydia Lovelace, and you're listening to WPKN Bridgeport, 89.5 FM, and streaming at WPKN.org.
And this is Chuck Wolfe, and you're listening to the Emotion Roadmap, Take the Wheel and Control How You Feel. It's a pleasure to be here with you today, and I just want to say right at the beginning that if you enjoyed the Carl Franno Show, if you like the show that I do, I'd like you to just know that this is a day that we're trying to raise some funds here at the station. It's a chance for you to be part of our community in a big way. If you can afford it and you want to know a place to put some of that maybe extra money maybe that you've got that's hanging around, there's a chance to contribute to WPKN at 203-384-9756. I hope you, like I, enjoyed the Carl Franno Show and listening to Casey and Rod. And it's always fun to listen to the people here. They have so much joy in the station and so much pride that we take in being here. So I hope that you can find in your heart and in your pocketbook a chance to contribute to help us to stay afloat and to do all the things that you love that we do. Again, 203-384-9756. For those of you tuning in, this is Chuck Wolfe, and this is the Emotion Roadmap. Take the wheel and control how you feel. Take the wheel and control how you feel. So how are you feeling today? Some of you may know, if you're a regular listener, I want to thank you all for tuning in. All those of you that like to listen to this show, and maybe if you've got something to call me about, you can call me in just a moment or two. The show is about helping the community to deal with life's challenges. There are lots of things that challenge us in life, and particularly for smart people, when they're stuck, it's almost always that something emotional is challenging. And when you feel emotionally challenged, you look back to your experiences and your education and you try and think, what do I know how to do to help myself to deal with something like anger or depression or embarrassment or humiliation even? How do we deal with really tough feelings? So the idea of taking the wheel and controlling how you feel is about you getting healthy, emotionally healthy, by using what I call the emotion roadmap. A technique I developed by working with the pioneers in emotional intelligence. And the technique is really a designed process to help you understand that when you're not feeling emotionally the way you need to feel, the way you want to feel, and it's not helpful to what you're trying to achieve or get done, then there is something you can do about that. You can think about, what would you like to feel? What would be ideal to feel? What would be really wonderful to feel? And if there's a difference between how you are feeling and how you want to feel, if there's a real difference that you understand and you can actually talk out loud or talk inside your own head about what it is you want to feel, then how do you get there? And a simple example to use that a lot of people really understand is this idea of trying to be able to be smart about knowing what it takes to feel differently, knowing what it takes to think about what you're going to change to and how that feeling that you want to change to is going to be helpful to you. So how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, this show is all about trying to help you. Now, if you've got a reason for calling this show and you're a regular listener and you're waiting for me to come in, then you can call now. The number to call is 203-336-9756. And the wonder and beauty of the show, I like to think, is that for anyone who calls, that I might be able to help by talking about how the emotion roadmap works and by helping you to understand how to use the emotion roadmap for your own specific, unique situation, everybody else who's listening learns. Everybody else who's listening learns. And that's the reason I volunteer here. I want people to learn how to use this concept I call an emotion roadmap, because I just think the world would be a better place if we all handled our emotions more intelligently, if we're able to be able to manage what goes on inside ourselves, be able to control when we overreact, when we indulge, when we break our commitments, our New Year's Eve resolutions, because we just aren't able to control our emotions. How do we do better at that? That's what the show's about. So let me give you the number to call. The number to call is 203-336-9756. Now that's the number to call if you want to talk to me. And again, I'm Chuck Wolf. I'm the host of the show. This show is the Emotion Roadmap. Take the wheel and control how you feel. And if you've got a question for me about a situation in your life that you're facing where you'd like some help because you know some part of what you're thinking about, dealing with, trying to get a handle on has some emotions attached to it that you're not sure how to handle, what to do with, how to proceed, where your uncertainty is causing you a lot of confusion and some upset, I can help with that. So give me a call again. The number's 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. So again, thank you to all those listeners who tune in regularly to my show. My show's on the first and second Wednesdays of the month from 12 to 1 p.m. I get to follow the wonderful Carl Frano and the equally wonderful reggae music when I, Messiah, is on the air. So hopefully you get to listen to them as well and you enjoy the entire station because we've got programmers that are just incredibly creative and talented. And you already know that probably if you're a regular listener. So again, the number to call is 203-336-9756. Now, while I'm waiting for the phone call, I always come in with some topics to talk about because who knows who's going to call. It's not easy to pick the phone up and call. And sometimes it takes that first person to break the ice. And, you know, once somebody calls and they see how the show works, especially for new listeners, it encourages them to, you know, maybe I can get some help here. I'm stuck. I haven't been able to figure out what to do. And the situation for me has been going on for days, maybe months, maybe even years. Sometimes people call in with things that have just gone on forever, it seems. But by walking them through, how are you feeling? And then asking, how do you want to feel? And then how do you get from how you are feeling to how you want to feel? How do you do that? And helping people to figure that out, not only for themselves, but for the other people they might be dealing with. Sometimes it's just something going on internally inside of us that we have to face and deal with. Other times it involves other people, sometimes one, two, maybe more. I always ask, are there more than just you involved? And if so, who's key to what you're trying to get done? And so I ask you the same questions about how are you feeling and how is he or she or they feeling? And how do you want yourself to feel? How do you want them to feel? And then we explore how to get there. That's what the show's about, folks. Now, the topics I wanted to talk about, for those of you that get to see this live, and if anybody wants to, you can, if you ever want to watch my radio show on YouTube, you can do that. You go to Simsbury TV. Simsbury is S-I-M-S-B-U-R-Y TV. And on YouTube, and then you go to YouTube and you put in Simsbury TV and you put in an Emotion Roadmap, and there I am. A couple of years ago, the head of Simsbury TV asked me if I would videotape my shows so that the shows could be seen by the Simsbury community. And then, because we have this technology available to us, she puts the shows up, or her staff does, puts the shows up on YouTube. And so now anybody can see it, which is really kind of cool. So anyway, for those of you that are seeing me on TV live, first let me say hello to some people that I know listen all the time. Hi to Howie, hi to Tom, hi to Kay. I just wanted to say that when I go on the air on TV, I'm normally dressed professionally. Today I'm dressed in a different attire because today I'm wearing my Patriots Super Bowl cap and my Patriots Super Bowl sweatshirt. Now, I'm not wearing the sweatshirt and cap from what just happened on Sunday. I'm wearing the cap and sweatshirt from the Atlanta game where they were down by 25 points and came back and won in the fourth quarter. I think that's the sweatshirt and cap I'm going to keep wearing every time they win a Super Bowl. That was the great one. This Super Bowl, if you watched it, the one of the columnists in the Boston Globe described it as a rock fight, meaning that it was nobody could score. They just keep the defense was just, they just kept going at each other, and it seemed like no one could score. And finally, the Patriots had a remarkable, amazing touchdown run like they've done so many times towards the end of the game, and then took the lead, and then managed to win eventually by 13-3 by 10 points if you didn't see the game. But the reason, in part, I want to celebrate the Patriots' victory is because I'm a season ticket holder and I love the Patriots. That's obvious if you've listened to the show before. And the parade was great yesterday. If you had a chance to watch any of it or attend it, even better. Over a million people. It's hard to say how many exactly, but they say it may have been the biggest crowd ever. So Boston's not tired of having parades, despite the fact that they've had so many incredible championships over the in this millennium. No other city has had more championships than Boston. I apologize for bragging. I just feel very proud of the city that I'm from. So anyway, what I wanted to say about the Patriots, and that's a little different than maybe what you're thinking, is that it was a celebration of being old. The two people that were together for the 9 Super Bowl attempts and the 6 Super Bowl victories are Tom Brady, who's 41, and Bill Belichick, who's 66. And they were playing against people that were essentially half their age. The quarterback, Goff, and the coach, McVay, almost half the age of Belichick, the coach, and half the age of Brady, was Goff. He was about 24, I believe. And McVay was like 33. So, and they were brilliant stars all season. They were not supposed to win. I think they were underdogs by a couple points at the end. But all season long, they were incredible. They had the most explosive offense ever. And I just, you know, if I go on a little, I won't talk too much more about this because not everybody's interested in the Patriots. But I do want to say that Bill Belichick proved once again that he is a coaching genius. If you know anything at all about football, you know the red zone is where you get within the 20-yard line and you get close to the goal, and that's where usually you get points, whether it's a touchdown or a field goal. You usually end up getting at least some points. Well, the team, the most explosive team in football offensively was the Rams this year, and they never got into the red zone. They never once in the entire game got into the red zone. That's unbelievable. And Belichick's coaching scheme, the way he confused the quarterback and confused the other coach, it was just a remarkable feat of defensive genius, really. And the fact that they were older is appealing to me because people counted them out this season. One of the reasons this was why so many people maybe showed up for the parade is because the very beginning of the year, they started off 1-2. They only had 1 win and 2 losses. And then towards the end of the regular season, they lost a couple of games against Miami and against Pittsburgh in games that people thought they should have won, that Patriots usually win in December. And so it was really believed by most that the Patriots weren't going to make it, maybe even by the first round, and then certainly not by the second round, where they had to go on the road to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. And again, between Kansas City and Los Angeles, those two were the two best teams through most of the year in football. Kansas City in the American Football Conference and Los Angeles Rams in the National Football Conference. And yet, the Patriots beat them both. And then just one other thing, not to celebrate, is that for a lot of years, I grew up as a big, big Celtics fan. And the Celtics, it seemed like when I was growing up, were playing the Lakers all the time in championships. And then later on during the Larry Bird era, too. And so beat LA was kind of like something that I grew up with. And so for the Red Sox to win the World Championship against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and then for the Patriots to go through the playoff series by beating the Los Angeles Chargers, and then to win the championship, the Super Bowl, by beating the Los Angeles Rams. Again, I don't want to boast, but I'm just very proud of the Patriots. But I'm also proud of the fact that you can work long in your life and still be effective. a lot of people in my generation, baby boomers, are at the place where some people are thinking about retirement. Many have retired. Others are just feeling like, hey, I want to keep working. You know, I still think I got it. I still think I've got some ability, and I don't want to give it up. Maybe you're a baby boomer. I know we have a fair amount of people who listen to our station that are baby boomers, or who are watching in Simsbury or from other places, or hearing this on podcast, because we podcast all our shows. You know, perhaps you're wondering about your own ability to contribute. And that's, again, one of the reasons I thought Sunday was so meaningful, was that we saw two people who are highly unusual, of course, but still, 166 and 141 still playing the game of quarterback at an elite level, win his sixth Super Bowl ring, Tom Brady. Six Super Bowl rings over 19 years, a truly remarkable feat. And I know there's a lot of people that don't like the Patriots, but there's few that don't respect them at this point. And many think it's one of the greatest sports franchises of all time because of the dynasty they've created, what they've been able to do. So, if you're old and thinking about retirement and you want to call about that and have me encourage you to stay with it if you believe in it and you're passionate about what you do, you can give me a call at 203-336-9756. And by the way, old is real in the sense of a physical sense, but old is also, I think, attitudinal, don't you? Don't you think that there's a lot of people that seem very old who are young, and a lot of people that are aged who seem very young? And then there was a few other things that happened over this past few weeks that I thought people may want to talk about, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But let me give you the number again in case you've got something you want to call about. 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. And what might you want to call about? Well, you might want to call about something going on inside of you. One of the themes this morning, this afternoon, I guess at 12, is simply, you know, are you wondering about what to do at this point in your life? And you may want to explore that by using the emotion roadmap. But other times, people call in for lots of reasons that have to do with the workplace, when you're struggling with a boss, or as a boss, you have a colleague or someone that works for you that is difficult and challenging, and you're kind of frustrated with where you are with that person. You know, in the work that I do, I'm a leadership coach, and often I am helping people trying to figure out how to use the same emotion roadmap to deal with situations in the workplace. But years ago, I used to be a family therapist, and so I also help people in terms of dealing with family situations or personal situations or community-based situations. So if you've got something going on with someone in your family, someone at work, someone in your community, or something, a situation, it's not so much about people, just something about you struggling with your own decision about what to do, give me a call. And the number again is 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. And I'll give you a moment. Hi, this is Chuck. You're on the air. Who am I talking to, please?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Dave.
Hi, Dave. And, thanks for calling.
Love your show.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
From Dallas, Texas, though, so it's no big deal.
You're from Dallas?
I was originally from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, okay.
But I want to tell you that you guys, by far, have the greatest coach ever, even better than Lombardi. And I want to mention just one thing before I tell you what I called about, is that, you know, what Bill Belichick does, he is so wise and so seasoned as a coach. All season long, he studies everything that you do. And then, like a general in the Army, he takes away your strongest points. So even though that looked like a flat game, he was really brilliant. And if you watch the game on TV, which everybody did, I'm sure, the other coach, who had a great season, looked really confused off his game. He was like a deer in the headlights. He didn't know what was coming at him next.
Right. He talked about being sucker punched, or he said he got out-coached.
He
right.
Like he was doing the ropey-dope thing early.
Exactly.
<you know?
laughs> Right.
And we all know that big pass down to Gronkowski towards the end zone there really turned it all around for everybody. Said that's it, you know, Patriots all the way. And, you know, my dad, who just passed away, had a saying, no matter how you want to get to the Super Bowl or where it's played, you have to go through Massachusetts to get there.
Yeah, you know? Some people in New England are thinking, instead of calling it the Super Bowl, we should call it the New England Invitational.
the Brady Bowl. but I want to tell you something real quick. I'm
sure.
66 years old,
yep.
And I'm working actively. I'm a food wholesaler. And I have my own business. I also perform a lot of magic shows. I'm a magician as a hobby.
Wow.
And my wife, she keeps asking me, when are you going to stop working?
Right.
And the problem I have, and this is where I could use a little coaching here, is that, you know, she's in a job that she really hates, her job.
Right.
She doesn't like the people she works with. She comes home, she's all beat up and exhausted. She's mentally frustrated. I get up out of bed at 3 in the morning, can't wait to get to the market. And I love my customers. They love me. And, you know, I'm a different place. I jump in the truck, and I'm really thanking God for everything I have, and thank you for my business and whatever. So this thing about me working and when are you going to stop working has become a little bit of a problem now, because it's like she wants to talk about it all the time, you know? And I guess what I'm sensing from her, and I know you've seen this before, is there a lot of negative energy in the house because of this.
Sure.
And I'm a very positive guy, so I'm trying to say, listen, I love what I do. We're doing great. My business is doing great. I'm putting stuff away for our future and all that. And then I sit back and say, what would I be doing if I wasn't working? You know, I mean, I don't want to sit around and watch Jeopardy all day, you know?
Right.
And I think that's where you really get old, you know, when you're not moving, you know, when you're not involved with the community or with your work. So I guess I need a little advice as to when she brings this up, you know, what should my response be?
I'm sorry, what was your first name again?
Dave.
Dave. So, first of all, it's perfect for the show. And let me actually play back to you what I heard you say a little bit, which is that you're loving what you're doing. You're in the food wholesale business. You can't wait to get up and go to work. Your wife's struggling. She doesn't like the people. It's kind of I mean, it's damaging for her every day when she goes in, it sounds like. And she's struggling
right.
with, if she retires, then what is she going to do if you're not retired? I mean, you didn't quite say that, but that's sort of what I heard, right?
Well, she hasn't been there yet. She's younger than me by
okay.
10 years, so she
oh.
can't retire now.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Okay. But that hasn't come up. I think if we were both retired in the house, the police would be there, probably.
So, are you relatively successful in your food wholesale
yeah.
business? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have some friends in that business, and they've done great. Now, one of the things that I think you want to think about in terms of how this all works, and sometimes it's funny that you mentioned you're a magician, because sometimes it feels like if you can make the changes that you want to make, it feels like magic. And so the magic trick that you want to have happen here is somehow you want to change how your wife's feeling about her situation or the situation that she's in so she can feel, and then you want to think about how would you like. I mean, right now you don't really want to change what you're doing. That's not really a question. It's a question,
right.
At least the question right now is, how do I help her? How do I help her so things aren't so negative for her? And because they're negative for her, they're negative for me too, right?
Correct. And So I want to just mention one little thing here. It's not a big deal, but when I met this woman, she was in a job that really wasn't working out, and she didn't get along with her boss. She left that job and went to Stanford to a new job, and that didn't work out. And I noticed this pattern where everyone she worked, and then she applied for a job at this other company, which she didn't get, and that was a problem. And then she got the job, and that was a problem. So I'm like, I'm faced with this, I don't know how to put this, like a negative cloud kind of over what's this dark cloud over everything, because no matter what job she goes to, it's not a, there's a problem.
Dave, have you been with her a long time?
10 years.
Okay, and so within that 10 years, there's never been a job she's held where she's been happy?
No, and not only is not happy, but, you know, sometimes when you live with someone, you come home and you say, how was your day? What's new? I can't do that because she does not want to discuss her job, see? So I don't go there, okay? And she'll ask me about my business, new customers, what's new, what are you doing, what's been happening, blah, blah, blah. I've expanded my business. I got another truck. I have two trucks on the road, and I'm doing good. And so we're kind of in two different places, and I guess what I'm looking for is a way to, I don't know, find a common ground of a little happiness there. For example, like on Sunday night, she gets really depressed because Monday's coming.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, let's go out to dinner. Do you want to go to a movie? It's a nice day. Let's go for a walk. Let's do something. I'm trying to turn things around here.
Right.
And so I'm in such a funk. She says, tomorrow's Monday. Like, oh, brother. You know, I'm like, oh, just shoot me, you know?
Okay. All right. So let me ask you, you know, kind of a key question here. Do you need her to work for the two of you to live comfortably?
No.
Okay. Do you think she's committed to work? Does she feel like she has to work for her own, you know, personal, you know, ego or so forth?
She doesn't want to work, but I think that she needs the insurance benefits that come with this corporate job. My being a sole proprietor on my own little business, I don't have that situation where I'm going to be able to provide benefits for her. And since I am the age I am, I can do the Medicare thing with plan A and B and be covered, so I'm okay.
Right. And she'd have to pay for her own health care, and that's expensive.
There
right?
you go. Yep. There you go. Right. Right. That big check every month, right. Yeah. So
okay. So you're wondering what to do. So let me offer a couple of thoughts about how this works.
Okay.
So the first thing is, you sound like a smart guy. You've thought about this a lot. And any time that anyone wants to give somebody else advice, which is you're asking me for advice, so that's not like I just want to tell you what I think you should do. You ask for some help. That's a little different all by itself. But even though you've asked for some help, the things that might be really obvious to me maybe are things that you and she have already talked about. So the first thing that I just want to explore with you is, what have you and she already talked about? In other words, this has been happening for a while, so my guess is you've had conversations about this, and I want to know what you've already thought about and dismissed.
Okay, well, here we go. I'm telling you that and I can see the negative approach on the different jobs she's had. She doesn't know I'm feeling that. I know that. We haven't talked about that.
Okay.
Because I don't know what job it is out there. That and one of the things that really opened my eyes to this was when she really wanted this one job, and she applied for it and didn't get it, and then got it. I was like, "Wow, let's get some champagne. Let's go here. You know, we finally found it." You know, she says, "Oh, this place is so bad. I don't want to work there." I'm like, "Oh my God!" You know, it's like in the first week, there were problems there, you know. So I don't know if it's a mental thing or if there's anything that I can do except still try to be positive. I think that's what I got
to
do.
Have you talked to her about how you're feeling?
No.
And the reason you haven't, are you're worried about escalating it somehow?
Well, I've tried to mention a little bit about her job, and she says, I just don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about it. And, you know, some women, when they don't want to talk about something, you got to pull that fire stick out of the fireplace, because if you keep it in there and keep poking around, she's just going to shut down.
Yeah, well, I would extend that to anybody. It couldn't, might be men too, but I understand what you're saying. So the question then is, you haven't really explored with her how you see her handling jobs, not just this job, but jobs. And that's right. Probably not a good place to go. But the one place that maybe you could explore, because the question is, how do you want her to feel? And let me just ask you that, because that's how this works. She's feeling pretty depressed about work. And I don't know how she's feeling about, you know, you said she's asking you about when you might retire. Is that right?
She said, how long are you going to work for? How long are you going to do this? She says, you work really hard. I work inside, I work outside, and you know, it's 20 below, it's 90 degrees, it's this, it's that. You got to just man up and do it. And she says, how long are you going to do this for? Because I don't know anybody your age who's doing what you do.
Why do you think she asked you that?
I don't know. And she gets mad, a little bitter, you know. She says, you have your magic shows, you have your you own your own business, I don't have anything like that. And I'm like, well, you know, what can I say? You know, I just keep busy and I like what I do. You know, let me tell you something else too, and I'm sure you know this already, but when you really love what you do every day, the day go by faster, and your frame of mind is better, and I even feel you're healthier. Yeah. If you really like what you do. Because don't forget, she's with these people 8-9 hours a day.
Sure, no, I understand.
And if you really hate what you do 9 hours a day, I mean, what's going to happen now?
Right.
I don't know.
All right, so if you describe her feeling, what would you say her feelings are right now?
Kind of just can't wait for the weekend. She just can't wait for the week to be over.
Well, so if you put a feeling on that, is so desperate for the week to be over, frustrated, depressed. Yeah, I mean, do those words ring true?
Yes, sir.
And then if you could make magic happen, what would you want her to feel every day?
I'd like her to get up at least a couple days a week and get up and say, I'm going to go to work and do the best I can and try to, you know, make this a good work environment, you know, and so something like that.
Okay, so you're kind of like a medium goal of just, you know, just have a couple days a week that you feel okay about this, so it's easier to be around. if you were, you know, you're a magician, you make things happen that, you know, completely surprise people. What would be the complete surprise for her if she started to wake up? How would you want her to feel differently every day?
Right. Get up and can't wait to get to work. Get up and let's get going here, you know, and look forward to Monday morning and doing the best job you can.
Okay. So part of this is
the other thing. The other thing is that I do say to her in a roundabout way is, you know, when we watch the news at night or you read the paper, you see all this misfortune of people with no money, no jobs, the immigration thing, people are broke, who's on. And I said to her, we are so lucky. We both have great jobs.
Right.
And then she thinks, oh, you know, you're right. And I say, we got to go to church and we got to give thanks for this, you know?
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
I mean, but listen, I want to say one thing, and I really appreciate your time. But being in radio, as you are in radio, I want to tell you a fast story before I go, and this is what it is. You know, one of my friends in New York City on CBS radio is Scott Shannon in the morning on 101 FM. And Scott was fired because he's 74 years old. He got fired from Z100.
Okay.
It was an age thing. And he ran the CBS. They picked him up. And this guy has brought CBS to number one at 74 years old in the tri-state area. And Z100 is now at 16, which I think is a little funny, you know.
All right. Well, I don't want to talk about that, but that's a nice story for aging people. But what I do, let me give you some thoughts about how to deal with your situation at home. If I'm you, I want my wife to feel, number one, cared about by me and supported and appreciated. In other words, I want her to feel, at least at home, life is great because of who I'm with. That's something that you can do, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's part one, because when you're feeling great about home, then work, everything else that's happening outside of home doesn't quite feel as bad. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's, my guess is that you probably do a job, you try to do this anyway, but I'm guessing that you're back on your heels a number of times when you reach out and you get blindsided by another I hate it. I can't talk about this. I don't want to think about this. I hate everyone.
Right.
And so it pushes you back and you're less supportive and less appreciative because, you just don't even want to deal with it.
Right.
But that's something you control. So you can push yourself past that and that will help her. The second thing is, and I think, if you're a successful businessman, then you've kind of been doing a fair amount of planning over your lifetime. True?
Yes.
So I always think that if you can build on the skills that you have, if you're a good planner, then you need to think of this as the same way you might think about a business problem, which is, how do I get this woman to feel like she wants to get up in the morning and go in and enjoy the day, despite the fact that there's lots of things that bother her? How do I help her to feel better about her situation and herself? And I would explore that with her. I would actually talk to her about it and say, look, I know that you don't want to talk about work because it's so depressing to you, but you have to understand how much I love you and care about you. And because you wake up like this, I want to see if together we can plan how you're going to feel differently about this job or find something else that's going to work, because we know you're capable of getting good jobs. And if this isn't the right place and we can't turn around how you feel about it, then let's really look at together. Because I want to be as supportive as I possibly can to help you find something that's going to work for you. And I think, she may not respond right away, Dave, because it's new and it's like, why would you do that? You haven't done that before. But if you continue to position it, not that you're angry that she's upset all the time, but that you care so much about her, that you want to help her, and that you're desperate to help her, and please let me help you. And let's just talk about this, a couple times a week. We'll take some time, a couple hours, and just talk about what can we do about where you are today. So not that things change around you, but that you feel different about it.
Sounds good.
Does that help?
Yes, sir. I really appreciate that. That's some good insight.
Well, I think you got the skill set and the caring and the ability to do it. So best of luck with it, Dave. Yeah, you want to call back sometime? Be great to hear from you. And thanks a lot for your comments about the show, too. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. So that's the emotion roadmap in action, everybody. The idea is that you try and figure out what's going on, what are people feeling, what's in play. You try and understand as much as you can about the context, and then you make a call about what you think might really help by thinking about how you want the other person or yourself to feel. And you put a plan together that you're able and willing to do. And he was clearly able and willing to do that. So thanks a lot for the call, Dave. Anybody else want to call? We've got about 15 minutes or so. The number is 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. Okay, while I'm waiting for a call, I've got another theme I actually wanted to talk about today. And I imagine that some of you probably have been watching the politics in our nation and may have stayed up and watched the President's State of the Union address and Ms. Granger's Democratic response. I don't know how you felt about that, because it tends to be that when you have such partisanship as we do in this country, that you tend to be on one side or the other. And so everything that you hear and see and read, it tends to be filtered by our own biases. One of the things that I was really lucky and happy about over the course of my lifetime was I was trained as a counselor. And one of the things that you learn as a counselor is to be non-judgmental. and to really focus on what you see people do, not necessarily what they say. And also, when you see people do something really wrong in your mind, you try to understand the origins of why might they do that, to appreciate how you might help them to change or how you might deal with what just happened. And so the counseling skill and the non-judgmental part has been really an important part. And why sometimes I can do this show, because sometimes people will call up and say some things that, sound challenging to me in terms of how to help them. But, you know, I had that training a long time ago. So the way I view politics is I tend to look at, when somebody's elected to office, even though they're not my pick necessarily, whether it's my congressional representative or the senators in my state or the local state representative or local state senator or the town selectman in my town or the president. Once they're in office, my thought is, I hope they're successful. I hope they're successful. I hope they do well, and I hope that they do well for the constituents, for the country, and that they're statesmen and not just politicians and so forth. So one of the things that I've been working with in recent times, and some of you have heard me talk about this before, is a group called No Labels. Now, No Labels is an interesting group because, over 10 years now, they've been really trying to promote bipartisanship, where people work together, where people have respectful dialogue, civil discourse, listen to one another, and they compromise to create what's in the best interest of their constituents and their country, as opposed to doing only what their party asks them to do. So I was working with this group in Connecticut, and a couple of things I want to talk about along the lines of bipartisanship is that No Labels really doesn't have a definition of what that is. And, we have a group in Connecticut and New York. We're sort of a pilot group of volunteers, leaders in our respective states, who are trying to create more membership in the No Labels group, but actually more activity that helps to encourage our existing legislators to be more bipartisan, and to encourage in primaries that people get out and vote for the candidate that seems like they are promising to be bipartisan and hopefully have even demonstrated that in the past. But what is bipartisanship? That's one of the things that our groups of leaders in Connecticut and New York have been talking about. And we realized that there's not a definition out there. So I went online, I looked around, and I thought, what are the definitions of bipartisanship? And what's the one that I like? So the one that I've actually looked at, I looked at the Free Dictionary, the Oxford Dictionary, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I looked at a bunch of them. And actually, Wikipedia had the definition I like best for the purposes of the politics that we're in. So I wrote it down, and I'm just going to read it to you. It says, bipartisanship is where parties are referred to as... Bipartisanship, sometimes referred to as nonpartisanship. And that's interesting all by itself. And why I like it is that bipartisanship represents two parties. Nonpartisanship represents any party. Anyway, refers to as nonpartisanship is a political situation, usually in the context of a two-party system, in parentheses, especially those of the United States and some other Western countries, end of parentheses, in which opposing political parties find common ground through compromise. That's what it said in Wikipedia. And I thought, that's pretty good. But then I thought, you know what? Sometimes I've taught negotiations over the years to groups. I got trained by some really excellent, world-class negotiators. And one of the things that I learned is that compromise isn't the best deal you can make all the time. Sometimes you can create a deal where everybody wins. And so I added a sentence to it. So if I just finish the sentence, it started with in which opposing political parties find common ground through compromise. And then what I added was, or by creating a legislative solution different than what was originally proposed that ends up in all parties winning. So sometimes when you come in with, situations that are very narrowly focused, I guess the one in play right now is, do we have a wall or don't we have a wall? And, people have kind of dug in around this. It seems kind of silly to me. But anyway, people have dug in around this. And if you broaden the context somehow and you include the situation for a larger scale deal on immigration, maybe, a real end to the problem that the Dreamers face and the kids get you know, a pathway to citizenship. And we find a way to make the deal a bigger deal. So we include lots of elements that everybody thinks matters. And then we allow some of this wall to be built in places where the experts say it might be helpful. Maybe there's a way to find a bigger deal, a better deal, where nobody loses and everybody wins. And anyway, whether it's on that particular negotiation or others or other kinds of deals that people need to make on infrastructure, on healthcare. There's so many really, really challenging problems. And I think that they're really complex. And I think they're so hard to solve. It isn't just that people don't want to solve them. It's just that they're really, really hard to solve. But when you think about a bigger picture and you're creative in the solutions that you come up with, sometimes you can make a better deal than what seems to be on the table at the time. So that's my definition of this stuff. If you'd like to get involved with No Labels and you think that you'd like to help promote bipartisan legislation, give me a call at some point. Or you can contact me via my email at CJWOLFE. Just my name, CJ. My name is Charles James. CJWOLFE, which is my last name, at CJWOLFE.com. Write to me, I think we're beginning to get more active. One of the things that I'm excited about, actually, that I think is happening, is some legislation that was created by a person in our state, Congressman Larson, and he has asked Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, who is our representative from the 5th District where I lived, who's new to Congress, he asked her to be a co-sponsor, and it's legislation to save Social Security. Now, a lot of you who are retired, like are in that retirement camp, like Dave is and I am and others who might be listening, but even if you have parents that you have that are in that stage, you're just a young adult in the workplace and you're wondering if Social Security is going to be there for you, that Congressman Larson has created legislation that seemingly will save Social Security, and it won't cost that much, it seems. I encourage you to read the legislation. I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to make mistakes about it. But I think it's a really well-done plan, and it has bipartisan support in the House, and it will pass there, but it may have a hard time in the Senate. So I'm hoping our No Labels group can work with Congressman Larson and help to make this legislation pass. So I'm feeling like when something is a problem and it impacts me emotionally, and in this case, financially as well, I guess. I don't like to sit on the sidelines. I'm a problem solver. I'm a critical thinker. I like to help people, individuals who call into this program. I like to help organizations that I believe in, whose values I share. I like to help our country be the best country it can be. So you want to join? Contact me at cjwolf@cjwolf.com. CJWOLFE at CJWOLFE.com, and I'll tell you more about it. Or if you'd like to call in about it, feel free. If you've got something that you'd like to say about how you're dealing with the conversations at home, I don't want to talk about politics on this show. That's not what the show's about. But if you're struggling with conversations with other people you have who are in your home who don't agree with the way you think, and this feels like it's polarization right inside your household, I'm happy to try and help with that as well. I actually got a wonderful note from someone that listens regularly to the show who just loved what I had to say about how do you allow somebody to speak their piece when you totally disagree with them, and yet you love them and care about them, and you don't want to be alienated from them. How do you do that? So one of the past shows I had, I spent a bunch of time talking about that. And I think I've got some strategies for that. Essentially is, if you can remember not to be judgmental, and I know how hard that is for most of us, and including me, even though I got trained in this, I'm not always non-judgmental, believe me. But it's an important consideration. Well, I've got time for one more call if you want to, if it's a quick one. Anybody want to give me a call? It's almost 12:50. And the number is 203-336-9756. 203-336 9756. And I'll be back next week in case you're thinking you might want to call, but you don't think it's enough time to tell me what you want to tell me. In the meantime, let me just walk you back through what this emotion roadmap's all about. So the emotion roadmap is, if you're feeling something that's not helpful to what you want to do, and you know that your feelings aren't helpful, and you know that there's a science out there called emotional intelligence that says, you know what, if you're really thoughtful about what you want to feel, there are certain feelings that are more ideal to feel than others. Actually understand that, folks. This is an important concept that most people have never thought about, and something that I learned over the years in working with the pioneers in emotional intelligence, and that is that some feelings for particular situations are far better suited than other feelings. A typical workplace scenario is when people want to brainstorm ideas about new innovative products or services they want to develop for the company, and they really want everybody to feel safe and secure in throwing out any idea, no matter how crazy. You want people to feel open. You want people to feel safe, and you want people to feel engaged and even humorous, so that people have fun with it when they're exploring possibilities. Because if you have somebody say something that sounds pretty far out there, and somebody else in the room says, oh, that's incredibly dumb, we could never do that, you know what happens to the room? It shuts down. I mean, there may be a few people that still talk, but essentially you've shut down the creativity that was possible. But if somebody says, hey, that's pretty wild, that makes me think of another wild idea, here's another one, and somebody just says it, and people laugh a little bit, and then people just jump on board, and then from that crazy idea, something new and special emerges. That's creativity in action, where people are working creatively together. And it's supported by the right feelings at the right time. Now, where do we think we could plan for how we want to feel? I mean, where is it important to plan how we want to feel? How about this one? How about if your child's going off to college and you're concerned about a number of things, but you don't want a lecture, how do you have that conversation? How do you want your daughter or son to feel if they're about to go off to college for the first time? Or how about when someone has failed at something that they tried, that they cared about, that they wanted to be successful at, and they experience failure, and it's a loved one of yours? How do you want to approach that? How do you want them to feel? What can you say that's going to make them feel the way you want them to feel? Or how about a performance review? If you've got to have a challenging performance review with somebody you like a lot and they're talented, but they've got some behaviors that if they don't change them, they're not going to make it. How do you deal with that? How do you plan for what you want to feel and how you want them to feel? So, folks, those are topics that we'll be talking about. I have talked about over time, and we'll be talking about them some more. But the whole idea of an emotion roadmap is to know that there are feelings better than others for particular situations. And anytime we're smart people are stuck, we're really good critical thinkers, are uncertain how to proceed, are confused about what's the best choice, about how to move forward, about worrying about escalating the situation instead of making it better. Those are opportunities to engage in this idea of an emotion roadmap, which starts with, how are you feeling? How do you want to feel? If you can make magic happen, how do you want to feel? And what would you feel right now? And if there's somebody else you're dealing with, how do you want him or her to feel? And then, how do you make that happen? How do you change from the feelings you have that you know aren't helpful to the feelings you've thought about that you know would be incredibly helpful? How do you do that? And the managing of emotions, the last part of the roadmap is, are you sure you've got a plan to move from what you are feeling to what you want to feel? Are you sure you have a plan that you're willing to do and that you're able to do? That's how the emotion roadmap works. Folks, you've been listening to Chuck Wolf, the emotion roadmap, take the wheel and control how you feel. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day. And I'm sure that you'll enjoy listening to the rest of PKN all day long if you can. And thanks, everybody. I'll be back with you next week. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone.
Programming support comes from New Morning Market, family-owned in Woodbury since 1971, specializing in local and organic with fresh produce, grass-fed meat, farmstead cheeses, foods for special diets, and healthy dishes prepared daily. NewMorningMarket.com. Programming support comes from the Side Door Jazz Club at the historic Old Lyme Inn, presenting live jazz every weekend in an intimate listening room with a full bar and relaxed ambience. In addition to the jazz club, the Old Lyme Inn offers fine dining, overnight stays, and weekend getaways. Full calendar and ticket information at thesidedoorjazz.com or by phone at 860-434-0886.
This is Hazel Kahn inviting you to tune into Norfolk Works on Wednesday to hear Dave Burson, Greenport sailor, author, and teacher, talking about his new book, Celestial Navigation, A Practical Guide to Knowing Where You Are. Celestial navigation may be ancient, but we'll be grateful for Dave's knowledge when and if the apocalypse comes. To find out what I'm talking about, please join us, if you can. Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., only on WPKN Radio. Thank you.
Thursday, February 7th, WPKN proudly presents the 15th edition of the Underground Series at the Acoustic in Bridgeport. This ongoing benefit concert series is a great way to support local music and community radio station, WPKN. For a suggested donation of $10, come rub shoulders with PKN programmers and enjoy performances by Thunderfunk, Albino Redwood, Electric Beast, Leah Maturo, and Barbara. Doors open at 7 p.m., and the Acoustic is located at 2926 Fairfield Avenue in Bridgeport. For more information, go to theacoustic.rocks, the A-List Facebook page, or wpkn.org. Hope to see you there. That's Thursday, February 7th.
Progressive groups from throughout the East End will hold a forum on A Healthier New York for All on Saturday, February the 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. in the Drew Lecture Hall at Stony Brook University's Southampton campus. The forum will give advocates for the New York Health Act a chance to discuss how they hope that providing a public health program dubbed Medicare for All can dramatically alter the way New Yorkers pay for health care. Saturday, February the 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. in the Drew Lecture Hall at Stony Brook University's Southampton campus.
Are you an adult with an ongoing health condition such as arthritis, high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, or depression? Consider a Live Well workshop. The Live Well workshops provide techniques to deal with stress, pain, and fatigue, nutrition and exercise options, effective ways to talk to others about your health, a step-by-step plan to improve your health and your life. There is no cost to attend. Live Well workshops meet once a week for 6 weeks. Caregivers are welcome. For more information on the Live Well programs or to find a workshop near you, please visit www.cthealthyliving.org or call 203-814-3693. Live Well is sponsored by the Southwestern Connecticut Agency on Aging, the State Department on Aging, and the State Department of Public Health.
The Connecticut Association for Human Services, COS, offers the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. VITA is a national program that provides free tax preparation to households earning less than $55,000 a year. IRS-trained volunteers are certified to prepare simple tax returns and screen for special tax credits. More information about the VITA program is available at www.cos.org/VITA.
Hello, this is Monty Alexander. If you love jazz, reggae, and all the great music under the sun, you have your radio in the right place. 89.5 FM, WPKN, Bridgeport.